want to be cautious that this doesn't come out as if I'm giving praise to any person, but I love Amy's voice. And a very beautiful song. Thank you for that. We have an opportunity to come together again today and to hear the word of the Lord as He's impressed it upon His servant. And I think about Dwayne, and I think about growing up. He was my Sunday school teacher, and he's always been kind of one of those constant people here in this local, someone I look to as one of the anchors of this local, of the Phoenix local. I appreciate his message. He preaches it simply, and that's good for me because I'm a pretty simple-minded person, and helps me to understand. So I'm interested and excited for his sermon today, and so I'd ask that you would offer a prayer for our brother and also for yourself, that you would hear and accept the message that the Lord's put upon his heart. So I'll give you our brother and Apostle Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Adam. And thank you, Amy, for that beautiful special. You've already got me emotional. It's so good to see you here, to see you feeling better, and to hear you singing praises to our God. Thank you very much. This morning, I asked for us to sing Whispering Hope. And you know, years ago, my wife and I were in Branson, Missouri. And we walked into a mall. And we heard this beautiful music. And it was Whispering Hope. And I just knew it wasn't a recording. I knew it was live. And we went in there, and there's a husband and wife. And she was singing, and he was playing the dulcimer. Just a simple song. But it was so beautiful. You know, it's kind of unusual, isn't it, to hear them playing Christian music in a mall. Here's a few words from that song. Whispering hope of His coming. How my heart thrills at His word. Oh, to be watching and waiting, ready to welcome the Lord. We should all have this hope for eternal life. We should be ready to welcome the Lord. We know the time is short. We know that Christ will return someday, soon. But we should welcome that time, whether we're here when He returns, or whether we are welcoming Him, or He is welcoming us in paradise. But there are things that we must do in this life to have this hope. It says, how my heart thrills at His word. His word, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The words that we have before us in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon. The words that we must follow. We must overcome the things of this world. You know, I was reading Dear Abby the other day. And yes, I read it sometimes. But I'll tell you what. If you read it, there's a lot you can learn about society today. One thing I've noticed, that almost everything in there that involves couples, they're not married. Almost never are they married. Here's what this one said. Dear Abby, I am a Christian 13-year-old female with a strong sense of right and wrong. I disagree with some things my parents condemn as sinful. I want to support gay rights and animal rights. My mother, in particular, takes the Bible literally. Well, I am more open. I want to take action to support these causes I know are right, but I am afraid she will be angry. I love my mother, and this makes me sad. This is what Dear Abby has to say, whoever she is. Dear Miss Kitty, please don't be sad. Instead, be patient. There is no way to change the thinking of someone who takes the Bible, or any holy book for that matter, literally. Do what you can now, but you may have to wait until you are older and on your own to become fully active in the causes you feel are important. The answer, her answer was, you would have to be foolish to take the Bible literally. That's basically what she's saying, isn't it? Literally, it means actually, without exaggeration or inaccuracy. That's what the Bible is. It is accurate. It is the Word of God. The Scriptures tell us that all Scripture is inspired by God, written by the hand of man, but those words came to them from God. Do we see a problem here? If you don't take the Bible literally, you have nothing. What do you have? I think that's a big part of what's wrong with this nation. If you don't believe everything in it, that means you believe what you want to, doesn't it? Can we see that today in this nation, in this world? We must believe in Christ. We must believe that we must keep all of His commandments. That's what it takes to be a true Christian. So many people proclaim Christianity, proclaim to be Christians, but they're not taking the Bible literally. They're doing what they want to do around little bits and pieces of the Bible. Our brother Tim read this scripture this morning. Let's look at John 3, 15 through 17. The words of Christ, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The most common scripture, probably, John 3:16. The most misquoted scripture. Most people today believe you just have to believe in Christ. That's all. Believe. It says to believe in Christ and you shall have everlasting life. But if you believe in Christ, you're going to follow Him. In verse 17, it says through Him. Through Him. Through His commandments. Through His example. That's how we have eternal life. By following Him. Following in His footsteps. He gave us the perfect example. Let's look at 3 Nephi chapter 5 and verses 66 through 68. And this is on page 636. And behold, I have given unto you the law and the commandments of my Father, that ye shall believe in me, and that ye shall repent of your sins and come unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. See, we go on a little farther here, don't we? Believing that we have the commandments, that we must believe, we must repent of our sins, and we must come unto Him and follow Him. Verse 67, behold, ye have the commandments before you, and the law is fulfilled. Therefore, come unto me and be ye saved. For verily I say unto you, that except ye shall keep my commandments, which I have commanded you at this time, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Very strong words, aren't they? Why do we have strong words like this? Because the Lord wants to warn us. He wants to make it clear so we will know. And it says, keep my commandments. It doesn't say keep this one or that one or you pick. My commandments. All of His commandments. That's what He's trying to tell us. He's making it clear. And he's telling what will happen if we don't. Mosiah, chapter 1, verses 55 and 56. And this is on page 212. And behold, all that he requires of you, all that he requires, this is all he requires. Is to keep my commandments. And he has promised you that if ye would keep his commandments, ye should prosper in the land. And he never doth vary from that which he hath said. Therefore, if you do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. So simple. Keep his commandments. He'll bless us and prosper us in this life. And he will, when we lay down this life, he will give us that eternal life where we will dwell with him for all eternity. Let's turn over to Ether. Chapter 1 and verses 31 and 35. And this is on page 717. Verse 31. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land, that it is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. He is talking about this land. He is talking about the Americas. He's talking about America. He's talking about this land that we are living in. It is a land of promise. A land of promise. In verse 35, behold, this is a choice land. And whatsoever nation shall possess it shall be free from bondage and from captivity and from all other nations under heaven, if they will but serve the God of the land, which is Jesus Christ, which hath been manifested by the things which we have written. Great promises for this nation. And we've seen it's a blessed nation. But again, we have the warning, don't we? Of what will happen if we don't serve God. And how can this nation serve God if they don't take the Bible literally? If they don't believe in the Word of God, how can they even follow it? And we have seen many things happen in this nation over the years. A decline in spirituality. Many things have been accepted today that my grandmother would never ever believe could have happened in this world, in this nation. But here we are. But we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to keep the commandments and to follow the Lord. No matter what's going on around us, we must remain firm and steadfast. You know, when my wife and I were in Branson, and we walked into that mall, the only reason we were there is because we were going to a restaurant, actually. And that was the only entrance to it. You had to go through the mall. And in this restaurant, they had one table, kind of in the center of the restaurant, that had hydraulic legs. And as these people were eating, these people that were at this table, this table... top started rising very slowly. And everyone else in the restaurant was in on the joke. The servers would come around and they would tell everybody, every other table, you know, what was going on and to, you know, keep an eye on this. And, you know, sometimes in life things happen and you just, you know, you can't believe it because it can't be happening. I got a telephone call one time at work, and this guy was talking like he knew me, and he's talking all this crazy stuff, and I'm trying to be polite. I'm at work, and I don't know what he's talking about. He's talking kind of personally to me, and he's asking these questions, and I'm thinking, this has got to be a candid camera or something, you know? But we finished the conversation, we hung up, and I have no idea who he was or what it was about. One of those things you just can't believe, but there it was. Here's this table rising. And you would be shocked at how long it took them before they said anything or realized. You can imagine it rising slowly over 45 minutes, just a little at a time. And I'm sure that they had to, you know, their food had to be getting a little higher, but, you know, it's, you know, well, this is impossible. This can't be happening. We're just sitting at a table in a restaurant. You know, that's kind of how Satan works. That's kind of how he works in our lives. He tempts us gradually, slowly, like this table that was rising. You know, he doesn't, we're walking down the street at night. He doesn't jump out of the bushes in a red suit with a tail and a pitchfork, does he? No. Why not? Because we'd run like crazy, wouldn't we? No, it's a little thing, slowly, tempting us. Like Eve, you know, the serpent there. You know, it's all right. That's not going to happen. Trust me. He tries slowly to lead us away. Simple little things that don't look so bad at first. And they may not be so bad at first. But if we proceed on that path, this little minor thing can turn into this. And if we allow it, those things can lead us to destruction. Little simple things. In 2 Nephi chapter 11 and verse 94. Yea, and he leadeth them by the neck with a flaxen cord until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. A flaxen cord is a fine thread. It's used to make linen. It's used to make sheets or shirts or a fine thread. You take one of those threads, you can break it easily, can't you? A little kid, our little children here, they could have that wrapped around the wrist and they could just pop it like that. We see here the example of what Satan does. He wraps that first little flaxen cord around us. And we can break it easily. But if we don't resist that temptation, he's going to wrap another one. And another one. And we see where it ends up. Until he bindeth them with his strong cords forever. Forever. When that happens, we're lost. We're lost. That's why when you've got to take care of things in the beginning, when it's simple, you can look at anything in your life, any kind of little conversation. I mean, you look at the Hatfields and McCoys. How did that start? From what I understand, they didn't even know how it started. But some little simple thing happened. And it could have probably been handled with just a conversation between two people, and I'm sorry. But it didn't, did it? People got killed. Because it got out of control. That's what Satan can do. He can bind us with those cords. We must pray against the power of Satan. Every day you need to pray about that. In Alma chapter 16, verse 219. This is the last part of that verse. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. Every day we need to pray that the devil, that Satan, will not be able to overpower us. And we must diligently try to resist his temptations. He's never going to give up. That's part of this life. You know, some things we can get rid of, you know, and move away or whatever, and it's gone, and it's over. This is never going to be over in this life. Satan's always going to be there. Every day he's going to be trying. In James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist him. When something comes into your mind, when that devil tries to plant that little first seed, tries to wrap that little flaxen cord around you, it's going to be starting your mind. That's where it all starts. He's going to plant that little seed there. Do this, do that. It'll be okay. That's where you got to start. Put it out of your head. I have done that many times. When something like that comes in my mind, I've closed my eyes, said a little prayer, and actually shook my head. And it was gone. It was gone. Not forever. It's going to come back. That's part of this life. You got to keep fighting it. We must be dedicated to serving the Lord. It must be our first priority in life. If it's not, we're already going the wrong path. If that's not our first priority, Satan is already wrapping those flaxen cords around us. He's already starting to get us. Being our lives are full of trials and tribulations and problems and temptations. Things that can discourage us. They'll discourage us if we allow them to. And you know, discouragement is one of Satan's favorite tools. I had a whole sermon on that one time. You know, during my last sermon, I talked about the Dust Bowl and the tribulations that those people had. And if you remember that sermon, it was hard, wasn't it? The things they endured. But today, I want to talk about some tribulations that we have in our lives, more personal things. And I want to tell you about some things that have happened in my life. I don't want you to think I'm complaining. I don't want you to think I want your sympathy. That's not the case. My suffering is minor compared to what many have endured. But this is just one example. The things I'm going to tell you are just one example of things that we have to endure in life. But you know, through all these things, I know the Lord was with me. He was with me every step. And I know He blessed me. I know He continues to bless me and watch over me. Let's start with my physical problems. I've had the shingles. How many have had the shingles? A few, yeah. How many enjoyed them? None? Okay. I have thyroid problems. My wife and I both have thyroid problems for some reason. I can't remember if it's overactive or underactive. I don't know. But I take a little pill every morning. And, one time when I was in Ethiopia, I set my pill on the counter to take it because you have to take it 30 minutes before you eat. And that's where the little cockroaches were out there eating my pill. I did replace it. My cholesterol is a little high. Not too bad. I have to take a niacin tablet every day. I have a hiatal hernia. I've had it for decades. I have acid reflux. I take a little pill every day, which kind of helps a little bit, but it doesn't take care of it. I have trouble sleeping. I don't sleep good anymore, ever. From all the international travel, the jet lag and stuff, my sleeping patterns have been destroyed. I had an abscess tooth in Tanzania one time and didn't really have any good pain medication. I had kidney stones in Kenya. Brian was the one that was with me there. In fact, he was the doctor, and he diagnosed them when I was setting up in the middle of the night. And he's, but I had those for two nights. I know Brian and some of you others have had, how many have had kidney stones? Yeah, we've got a few kidney stones. And I know some have suffered a lot with them. Well, mine was only for two nights. Two nights. Two eight-hour nights, and it started each night about exactly the same time and ended exactly the same time. And it was miserable. And I've said this before, and I still believe this, that I think I had those kidney stones so I could understand suffering better. I could understand other people's suffering, and I could also understand the suffering of hell, of having an endless torment. You know, for those 8 hours, there was no let up. There's no let up. It doesn't go away. I had walking pneumonia in Ethiopia this last trip. I thought I had a cold. I took cold medicine, but my cough kept going. Finally, Brian diagnosed this. He said, well, maybe it's walking pneumonia, you know. So I started taking antibiotics. And when I got back, I took more medicine. It finally went away, but I would cough and cough and cough. I've had broken bones. I've had numerous sicknesses in foreign countries, catching all kinds of stuff. One time I had an illness that lasted for over a year. I went to every specialist known to man, and they never could figure out what it was. It finally went away. Various ailments like everybody else has had. And as I get older, I seem to have increasing aches and pains. Anybody relate to that? Accidents. One time I was cutting my palm tree, and I got a little too close under it. And the palm frond, if you've ever looked at them, they have like shark's teeth on the edge, except a little sharper. Well, one of them almost cut my ear off. And I'm in getting it sewed up, and it's a lady doctor, and she looks at it, and she's complimenting me on what a good job I did on it. And she looked at me and said, did you learn anything? I said, yep, I did. I smashed my finger once with a 4-pound hammer. That made me a little lightheaded. My wife and I hit a deer once. You know that story. But if the deer would have been about this much lower, it wouldn't have driven it away. It would have come inside, and we wouldn't be here today. When I was a teenager, I rolled my dad's truck and rolled clear over. Back then, I wasn't wearing a seatbelt because there wasn't any seatbelts. The truck didn't have any. And I can still remember. Of course, as you know how time stops. I can still remember as this truck is rolling over, and I can remember myself bouncing around in there, you know, and thinking, "Uh-oh, I'm in big trouble. How am I going to tell my dad?" I really wasn't thinking about getting hurt, and I didn't get hurt. I didn't get hurt at all. I mean, maybe a little bruise or scrape. Then get hurt. One time I drove a roofing nail through my finger. You know, when you're, it was getting dark. Don was with me, and you know, you're up along the cooler, and you got a nail through the flashing, and I got tar from head to toe, and I had a nail between my fingers, you know, and you're trying to tap it to get it started, you know. I tapped it, and you know, I tapped a little harder. I hit it, and then came back and tapped a little harder. Well, there was tar on the end of the hammer, too. So that time, when I hit a little harder, the nail stuck to the hammerhead. I pulled it back. The nail is on the hammer. This time when I went down, it wasn't quite accurate and went through the edge of my finger. The Lord has prevented some of my calamities, too. When I was a teenager, my cousins, Arden and Alan and I, it was a snowy day in Grand Junction, and there's what's it called? The Big Hill. We call it the Big Hill. It was the biggest hill around there, but it's behind the church. If you're ever up there, you can see it up there. And it's fairly tall. We decided we would pull a car hood up there and sled down. I didn't really have a sled. We didn't have a sled. We had a car hood, you know. Who knows? So we dragged the car hood up there. We get up there and look. And Arden and me, we're ready to go. We're good to go. This is a good plan. And Alan looks, and he says, no way, you know. I'm not going to do this. Well, there was a little bit of problem with this. And Alan saw that problem, but Arden and me, in our infinite wisdom, we couldn't see it. Well, at the bottom of the hill is a barbed wire fence. And immediately the other side of the barbed wire fence is a canal. But we saw that as no problem at all. When we got down close, we'll just roll off the side and everything will be okay. We jumped on and away we went. Snow flying in our eyes. We couldn't see anything. And the only thing that saved us was we're bouncing along like this. It turns around backwards. It starts filling up with snow and it finally throws us out. The sled runs over us and mashes us in the snow. The Lord probably prevented us from being killed that day. So we missed that one. Sorrow, like all of us here, we've had many family members, brothers and sisters and friends that have passed away. My parents are both gone. One time, one of my grandmothers, she passed away on Christmas Eve. Christmas Day, we got up and drove to Oklahoma for the funeral. Crimes against me. We've had stuff stolen from our yard. We've had our house broken into and stuff stolen from our house. We've had two cars that were broken into and stuff stolen. And my wife has had her purse stolen. Threats in foreign countries. I realize some of you may not have this, but in Nigeria, you'll notice a lot of these are from Nigeria. In Nigeria, we've been detained in our vehicle for various reasons. Usually they're because they're trying to get a bribe. You know, one time they came and blocked all the wheels. They put stuff around the wheels so to make sure we couldn't go anywhere. One time they jerked the driver out and took him back, and a policeman sat down in the driver's seat. And Brian asked him, well, what's going to happen, you know? And because the driver was talking on a cell phone. That was the crime. And they said, oh, we're gonna arrest him. We're gonna pound the vehicle, you know. Well, they're just trying to get a bribe. Nigeria again. One time we were sideswiped by an 18-wheeler, and because our card passed him and he got mad, so he tried to take us out. One time in Nigeria. And they have police checks. They don't have as many as they used to, but they used to have them everywhere. And, you know, these guys all have assault rifles and stuff. Well, our driver drove right through one of them. And then a little bit later, he drove through another one. I'm expecting bullets to come in any time, you know, in the back window. Well, we find out he didn't have a driver's license. But if he had have stopped, they would have arrested him, and they would have impounded the vehicle, because that happened to him later. One time I was with Buzz in Kenya, and we were stopped by a mob. And they were threatening to stone us. They were standing there with bricks. And we finally figured it out, and Moses talked to them, and they wanted 100 shillings, which is a dollar. And I asked Moses, I said, what would have happened if we hadn't given them that? He said, they would have stoned us. They were drunk, and there was a lot of them. One time I was in Indy with Buzz. And we were in our hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we hear somebody pounding on the door like a wild man. And we got up and starry-eyed, and we look out the window, and there's three or four police vehicles out there and police wandering around, and they're pounding on the door, and I look at Buzz, and I say, I don't know what they're saying. I'm not opening the door. And we didn't. It had a big bolt on it, and we didn't open the door. And they finally found our leader, and they were there because somebody had told them that we were tied to a known terrorist group. And but our leader was able to defuse that, and nothing happened. All part of life. Every one of us has a different story, don't we? Things that have happened to us in our life. But the Lord was with me through all of them, as He continues to be. Let's turn over to Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We're not going to understand everything in this life. We're not going to understand everything that happens to us. We're not going to understand the Lord's complete plan for us. His ways are higher. But we know that His ways are always the best ways. In Alma chapter 12, verses 108 through 110. This is on page 371. And Amoth saith unto him, the heavens is a place where God dwells, and all His holy angels. And King Lamoni saith, is it above the earth? And Ammon saith, yea. And he looketh down upon all the children of men, and he knoweth all the thoughts and intents of the heart, for by his hand were they all created from the beginning. You know, it's funny how mankind is. The Lord is looking down on us. He's looking down on us now. He's always looking down on us. He sees everything we do. So why would we do something in private that we would never do before you? Yet, we're doing it before God, and He sees everything. And if we did it before you, you're not going to give us that eternal judgment. But God is. He gives us that eternal judgment. But we do that in front of Him. It's funny how human nature is, isn't it? But you know, we can still have peace and joy even through all these tribulations in life. We have seen many examples of this, of people that have overcome things and have that great peace and that great hope. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We can still have that hope. We can have that peace by putting our faith in our Lord. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. How many actually glory in tribulations? Do we look for them? Do we go out and ask the Lord, you know, give me a tribulation today? We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Tribulations make us stronger. When do we pray the most? When everything is going fine? No. When we have tribulations. And when we overcome them, we are stronger spiritually. And we are ready for whatever else is coming in the future. John 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Christ overcame the world, didn't he? He broke the bonds of death. We're going to have tribulation in this world. That's something that's not going to end either. Just like the temptations of Satan. We're always going to have tribulation in this earth. But we can find that peace through Jesus Christ. The only way we can find it is through him. Romans chapter 8, verses 35. And then we'll read verses 38 and 39. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? None of those things can separate us. None of those things can separate us from the love of Christ. Only we can do that. We're the ones who would do that. We can say, oh, well, this caused that, or that caused this. No, it was us. We have to do it. We have to separate ourselves. 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us if we remain firm and steadfast. Put Christ first in our lives. Resist those temptations of Satan. Nothing can separate us, because we will have our hope, our complete hope and faith in Jesus Christ. Let's look at Alma chapter 5. Alma chapter 18 and verse 5. This is on page 443. And now, my son Shiblon, I would that ye should remember that as much as ye shall put your trust in God, even so much ye shall be delivered out of your trials and your troubles and your afflictions, and be lifted up at the last day. Our trust. We've got to put our complete trust in the Lord. And he will deliver us from these trials and tribulations and give us that peace in our heart. We'll be able to overcome them and be lifted up at that last day. You know, during our trip to Ethiopia, our last trip to Ethiopia, there's always problems in Ethiopia. Usually something to do with the government. Always, always problems. And our trip's winding down. And Koba, our leader there, He's telling us that there's going to be a million people that are going to come into the city of Addis Ababa, and they're going to protest about the government. And this was to happen the day before we flew home. But Koba is an eternal optimist. And he said, I won't be any problem, you know. Won't be any problem. Well, I'm pretty sure if a million people were to come into that city, we'd have had a problem. And maybe not be able to return home. And this did occur. The people did come in and protest against the government, a corrupt government, a dictatorship. They were protesting against the government. But it happened after we left, after we were home. Brian and I had planned to be in the Democratic Republic of Congo a couple weeks ago. We were not able to take that trip. And there was a strange set of circumstances. As soon as we got home from Ethiopia, the next day we applied for a visa for the Congo. And I can't even, you know, everything all gets mixed up in my head, trips and stuff. I can't even remember what all happened on that trip trying to, but there was a whole bunch of things that happened, of roadblocks and here and there. And we're finally down to the wire, you know. We're supposed to leave Tuesday morning. We got to leave the house at 9:30. And Brian calls him up Friday, and that Friday before, and they said, nah, they still have our passports at the Congo embassy. They haven't approved them yet. So we call, Brian calls again Monday morning. You know, and Monday morning, they're approved. They're approved. But they'd already put a normal shipping label on them, which would have meant they'd have been there by noon on Tuesday, which would have been too late. So Brian talked to him and gave him some extra money, and they put him on the expedited FedEx service, which meant they would be there by 8:30 in the morning. And FedEx is pretty reliable. And even the receipt they gave us, they sent us a receipt. It had all that information in there. So we thought we were okay. And this passport service we have is usually very reliable. Well, here it is Monday morning or Tuesday morning. We're waiting for our visas, and they don't come, and they don't come. And Brian finally calls them again, and there was a mix-up. They put the wrong shipping label on it. They left the old shipping label on it, so they would be here by noon. You know, I've never really had them do that before. It was so simple. Everything was in place. We had the visas. We had time. FedEx would have had them there by 8:30 in the morning. We would have left at 9:30 and been on our way to Congo. They got to us about 11:10. They got to us at 11:10 for 11:25 flight. We didn't make it. And, you know, I don't think everything happens for a reason. But I think a lot of things do. And I think there's a reason we didn't take that trip. I don't know why. I'll never know why. Michael and Moses went. So there were still our brothers from Kenya. There were still people there. And Michael and Moses weren't in danger. Nobody's going to kidnap them. But a couple of white guys. They kidnap people in Congo. Usually it's up farther north. Of course, you know, white guys in Africa, we stand out. We stand out. I don't know what would have happened. I'll never know. But it's one of those things where, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I got my bag packed. I'm ready to get on the plane. And it's like they took the air out of you, you know. What do I do now? This is one of the times where I feel like, for whatever reason, we weren't supposed to go. And I truly believe that probably our greatest blessings are things we never know about. The Lord who is up there watching over us 24/7. He protects us from things we don't even know. I want to close today with the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful promise that is. I thank you for your time.